We will also read Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 10, found on page 26 in the back of the Psalter hymnal. Page 26. We study Joshua 10 in conjunction with Lord's Day 10. I'd like to read this responsively, where I will read the question, and together we'll read the answer. Lord's Day 10, what do you mean by the providence of God, the almighty and everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were, by his hand, he still upholds heaven, earth, and all creatures, and so governs them that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, food and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, yea, all things come, not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. What does it profit us to know that God has created, and by his providence still upholds all things? That we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and with a view to the future, may have good confidence in our faithful God and Father, that no creature shall separate us from his love, since all creatures are so in his hand that without him they will not so much as move. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Joshua 10, we read of the account of God leading Joshua and Israel to the aid of Gibeon. They've marched over mountains, almost straight north from where they would have been encamped. The Lord shows his great power as he sends down rocks and stones, like hailstones, on the enemies of Israel. The Lord stops the sun and the moon to give his people more time to fight and no chance for the enemy to flee. Tonight we consider how our God is active in creation, how he leads and he governs us. This teaching can be quite confrontational, depending on who we talk to. You see, the Lord continues to act in this world. Sometimes these actions are quite different, and they can be difficult to watch. It seems as though there seems to be more natural disasters in the past 5 or 10 years than we've had before. Now, statistics say, no, that's not true, but because of the media, we see more than we did 5 or 10 years ago. Sometimes it seems as though these disasters are quite harsh. We say they are God's doing, they are acts of God, and yet they can be difficult to watch. Perhaps some of us have heard people ask you or friends of yours, where is your God in this? What's he doing? Why would he do these things? And as we too see these things, perhaps we ask what he's doing. What is his purpose for this? We confess that our Lord God is almighty. He cares for us in such a way that not a hair can fall from our head without his will, without his permission. So today, we consider providence of God. We find it presented in Joshua 10 and Lord's Day 10 of the Heidelberg Catechism. We do this under the theme, Our God's Complete Control Over His Creation. Our God's Complete Control Over His Creation. We notice 2 points this evening. powerful exercise of providence, and comforting assurance of providence. Powerful exercise and comforting assurance. So what is providence? Providence is that teaching in which we believe that all things are in God's control. We believe that nothing happens without God's working. This teaching requires some care to teach, some care to process. It requires a certain amount of humility. You see, to believe in the providence of God is not just to believe that the wonderful sunshine shows us we're on our way to spring, that that's from God. The crops that will grow is from God. The wonderful dinner which we enjoyed this afternoon, that's also from God. The difficulty is the drought, the famine, the diseases. Yes, those are also from God. So God provides much. He gives some in abundance, some prosper, and others, it seems, go with much less. They find themselves in poverty. They find themselves with diseases and various other handicaps. The Lord does these things out of his providential care for his creation. Some say all are created equal. When we look around, it doesn't seem that way, does it? And so God controls creation. Sometimes by acts that are clearly miraculous. He spreads the Red Sea and Israel walks through it. He casts down hailstones on the enemies of Israel. Truly miraculous works that wouldn't be replicated. But other times, he acts in a much more normal way. We find the transition from winter to spring quite normal. And yet we believe these are acts of God. The regular order of the universe. It's not as though some watchmaker wound up a watch and took a few steps back. Our God's not that kind of God. But he's active. He's working. He upholds creation. So the one danger is to say that God is like a watchmaker. He's done his thing and taken a few steps back. But the other error is to put everything on God. You see, the other error places the devil and his work as part of God's work. It places evil as being from God. And indeed, that's not so. And so the providence of God must be taught, must be confessed from a church with care. He upholds the earth. We remember the words in Matthew's gospel pertaining to sparrows and various birds and lilies of the field. If God clothes them, if God takes care of them, why wouldn't he also care for us? Are we not more valuable than birds, than flowers? Of course we are. And of course he does. We see it every day, don't we? God rules this earth in such a way that the leaf and the blade, the rain and drought, the fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health, sickness, prosperity, poverty, all these things come to us not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. Christians then don't believe in chance. We don't believe in fate. We don't believe it was chance or fate that throws up tsunamis, hurricanes, earthquakes. that devastate various countries of the world. We don't believe it's fate or chance that keeps Lake Michigan over there and keeps us standing on dry ground. We're just as deserving as others for such a disaster. We could be wiped out in a moment with nothing to say. Totally, totally just. And so we say it's God's grace that he's kept us. It's God's grace that we're able to gather here in freedom by choice to worship him this evening. What is providence? Now, someone once told me, if you want to learn a lesson in providence, talk to a farmer or work on a farm. Farmers know a lot about providence, it seems. They plant when they can. They irrigate when they can. They fertilize when they can. Their equipment breaks. The ditches run dry. The fields are too wet when it's planting season, and they're too dry when it's growing season. Each year, they seem to schedule things out perfectly in December, and then something goes wrong. And they're either ahead or behind of schedule because of some problems. And yet, the crops grow. They're in the ground at different times, and they grow. The Lord gives farmers a crop to harvest, whether meager or large, at the end of the year. You see, farmers put all their trust into God's hands when they buy their seed, they purchase their fuel, and they run out into their field to put it all into the ground. They have faith in the God that makes the seed grow, that turns these things into abundance. So one could say, if you want to see the acts of God, talk to a farmer or work on a farm for a little while. A farmer once explained that he had to work in his field. Had not been in the field, and he had to mow it for hay, I think. And it was supposed to rain. Very small window. If he didn't get in that field that day, it would all be gone. And so he went out with the tractor, and the storm clouds came in. And it rained, it seemed, all around him. And once he was done the last bale, it poured on his fields. And he said, "What a wonderful God we have that he looked after me in such a way that I could get all of my crops in on time." So we notice God's exercise of providence in his world. We now consider the comforting assurance of this providence of God. The comforting assurance of providence. Knowing that God is continually active in creation is an assuring thing to the Christian. As question and answer 28 explains, that we can be patient in adversity, we can be thankful in prosperity, we can have a view to the future and have confidence in our faithful God and Father that no creature shall separate us from his love. Since all creatures are in his hand, without his will, they cannot so much as move. We know that God is ultimately in control. And so we know that whatever good or bad befalls us, it's because of his fatherly hand. It's him looking after us. We're so much more important than sparrows and flowers. So much more valuable that he cares for us. It's a wonderful doctrine because we too are saved because God has called us unto himself. Without him intervening miraculously in our hearts, we wouldn't be able to even confess Jesus Christ. It's God that has put us in a church at some point, or has influenced us somehow by his word through another Christian or another person. We've found out about the gospel and we've been converted. He hasn't just set up that situation, but he's also worked in us in such a way with his Holy Spirit that he's softened our hearts and he's allowed that Spirit to take growth. Much like the seed a farmer plants, the gospel has taken root in our hearts. And so we're kept so that our whole lives we confess how wonderful God is, how gracious he is, that his love has also been bestowed on us. You see, in Joshua 10, Joshua here wasn't commanded by God to go save Gibeon. He wasn't commanded to go and fight. He wasn't told by God to march. It was his strategic mind and his duty, it was his duty to the Gibeonites to go and save them because of the treaty they had made. And God blesses that. God looks upon it with favor and tells Joshua, gives his blessing on that, and tells Joshua that he will succeed. He will succeed. The nation of Israel, in the time of the kings, could not for a moment say that they had marched across it and earned it for themselves. It's a wonderful thing. They couldn't say that. The Lord had given it to them, and it was apparent at every single step along the way. God's providential hand was conquering for them. It's like that with faith, isn't it? Looking back on our lives to see how God has worked within us, we can't say we've earned salvation. We've toughed it out. No. But we say God has fought for us. God has converted us. The very thing to satisfy the judgment for our sins, the penalty that we have incurred, he's provided with his mercy through Jesus Christ. There was an elder some time ago. I heard about this, and he was working with a very sick man on his deathbed, long member of the church. You see, this hospitalized congregant had grown up with the teaching that the Holy Spirit worked in such a way that the individual would be rescued from his sins up until the point that he could make an objective choice. So the pastor would say, make a choice. It's yours. Choose for God. Choose not for God. And this elderly man had lived a life of fear for many years. Constantly struggled with his sins, constantly struggled with assurance that, yes, he had made the choice for Christ, but was he going to be all repented up by the time he died? Had he done enough? Had he made enough choices for Christ? I don't want to be insensitive. We need not be insensitive to people who are struggling with assurance, but this man had every right to have the assurance of eternal life because he believed in the promises that God had made by saying, you know, all those who believe will have eternal life. Jesus Christ gives eternal life, and belief in him is all it takes. And this man lived a life in such a way that the fruits of his faith were evident. It did not save him. But no man could rightly, after hearing his testimony, watching him live for 30 or 40 years, could say, this one we don't know about him. God ultimately converts us. He keeps us in such a way that we can't fall away. This man was scared that he would fall away at the last moment. The devil would plague him in such a way that all would be lost. But no, God's gracious, powerful hand upholds the people of the church. Perhaps it's the same for some of us here today. Perhaps some of us need to hear how great God is, how much he cares for his bride, the church, upholds her, keeps her safe and strong, even when it's persecuted. Perhaps there's some here that need to hear that if we confess faith in Jesus Christ, repent, believe in Jesus Christ, we will have eternal life. It's promised to us. Not because of the repentance, not because of the believing, but because of the Holy Spirit working within us, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. You see, we too can have comfort that nothing can separate us from his hand. We too can rest in the confidence that even if we're taken tonight, we will rest with our Father in heaven. But then the call comes out as well for those who have not believed, who have not repented, who are hard-hearted, to repent, believe in Jesus Christ, the only way unto salvation. And so today, in this economy, in this world, there are many who ask what God is doing. There are wars, there are rumors of wars, there are natural disasters, and there are people asking, where's your God? And the answer of the church is, can't you see him working? Can't you see his hand there? You see, Christians and unchristians, they sometimes have to live in the same kind of life circumstances. Floods, earthquakes, disasters that affect Christians and non-Christians alike. And this is hard. It's difficult for Christians to undergo adversity. It's difficult for non-Christians to undergo adversity. It seems sometimes that God is being harsh. None of us like it. We don't like living in adversity. But the difference between a Christian and those who are not is not what happens to them, but it's rather how they respond. It's how we live in such circumstances that separates us. You see, we have something to live for. We have a foundation of faith in Christ underneath us. We know that the Lord upholds us. We have a great God and know that nothing on this world can separate us from his love. What a great comfort we have, even in our struggles. When we're faced with death, with sickness, we have something to hold fast to. We have something to believe. We have something to cast our eyes on and run the race that's before us because of his fatherly hand. We can live in the assurance of our faith. What a great blessing. Amen.